Let's take a moment to pray together. Let's pray. God, we thank you that the greatest gift is love, the greatest of all is love. We thank you that that love has been made known to us in such a real human way in the person of Jesus and in the presence of your Spirit. And we pray for your Spirit to enlighten our hearts right now, that you teach us what your word means, teach us what you're saying to us today, and that you reveal your love in ever greater depths. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a couple of slides to show you. My favorite cartoon of the week. Some of you will have seen this. I always wanted to be a Gregorian monk, but I never got the chance. And thank you to the member of the congregation who sent me this. And I'm grateful that we're not like that in this church, but we're thinking about pews. But last week we looked at how, before we go into that, next one, Chris. Last week we started the Alpha course, and it's always good to be involved in the Alpha course, I feel, because it sharpens your thinking about what you believe and what you understand about God, because usually we have questions, and we all have questions, but it's useful to hear other people's questions, and particularly when it comes to things of God. So we asked this question: if it turns out that there is a God, so leave the possibility for that to be true to everyone, if it turns out that there is a God, and you could ask one question, what would it be? So here are some of the questions. What were you thinking, God? How much am I loved? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Where have you been? What will I be after I die? Why do bad things happen to good people? Maybe questions that we've asked in the past. And some others: why hide away so much? Why not make yourself more obvious to us? Why all the famine and poverty? Why does childbirth have to be so painful? Why not make yourself more visible for those who don't believe? If you could take back anything, what would that be? With so many different versions, will the real God please stand up? And lastly, I think, if you're real and if there is a heaven, will my pets be there? Why so much emphasis on you being our Father? Can you please speak to me on earth? And what is the driving force of it all? Evolution? Good questions, and the Alpha course isn't necessarily designed to answer questions. It's maybe designed to enable us or people to ask better questions. And that's, to me, that's a good description of growing in your faith, is learning to ask better questions, not necessarily knowing all the answers. But last week we looked at Jesus and how Jesus uses the scriptures, and I came across a good illustration of that this week. Some of you might have seen this. The difference between me and you, Jesus says, is that you use scripture to determine what love means, and I use love to determine what scripture means. So love is the guiding light of Jesus' interpretation of the scriptures, and love is the guiding light of Jesus' life. Love is the guiding light of our lives in Christ. It's love that determines what is right and wrong and what is the right course of action to take at any moment in our lives. So Jesus used love to determine what Scripture means. Well, Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians, in the Passion Translation, of that last verse where it says, "The greatest of these is love." That translation says, "So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run." And connecting with the idea that Paul uses the image of an athlete training for races or running a race to be an example of what it means to live in the way of Jesus. So the beautiful prize for which you run is love. And of course, one of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples was, "A new commandment I give you, and that is to love one another." Love one another, you know, was the summation of all of Jesus' teaching. was the new commandment that we were invited to embrace and live out. Now, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, remember the early believers, the early followers of the way of Jesus, and Paul writes to them and says, here's what love looks like. And he says several things about love from in that chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, a chapter which is often read at weddings and any other times where we're thinking about what love means. But he tells us in the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 13 that love is more than words. It's more than just the words you say. We know that sometimes we can come across people, or we can do this ourselves, we can say something, but actually our actions don't necessarily live up to our words. We might use loving words, but not back it up with loving action. So it's much more than words, Paul says. And he says, if I could speak in the languages of earth and of angels, but did not have love, then I would be nothing. So it's more than words. It's also more than gifting. It's more than gifts. He says, if I had the gift of prophecy and understood God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, but did not have love, I would be nothing. So it's more than words. It's more than our giftings. It's also more than faith. He says, if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but did not have love. So it's more than words. It's more than gifting. It's more than faith. And it's more than generosity. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, but did not have love, it's more than words, it's more than gifting, it's more than faith, and it's more than generosity. Words and gifting and faith and generosity are all beautiful things, especially when they're rooted in love, especially when they're done from a heart which has been delivered by love. Our hearts need to be delivered by love. They need to be transformed by love. And that's what Christ does. That's what it means to be in Christ, is that our hearts are being transformed by love, into love. Now, we might say to ourselves the same thing that Paul says to those early followers of the Jesus way, that it used to be in the past that our hearts were not redeemed by love. That it used to be in the past that we used to utter words in jealous anger. That it used to be in the past that we might have exercised amazing gifts of healing and prophecy in order to promote our own self. And it used to be in the past that we gave our money with one hand, expecting a return with the other. Paul says that to the Corinthians to tell them that they're no longer like that. They're now changed. They're different. You've been shown a different way, and you've been given the power to live that way differently. Thanks be to God, Paul says, that that was the case in the past, but now you've been delivered from that. You no longer need to live that way. You're now led by a new spirit, the spirit of love, the spirit of Christ. And his way is the pattern for our lives. So Jesus' way, I love it, that verse, the very last verse again from Luke chapter 4, verse 30, but he walked right through the crowd, leaving them all stunned. Even though the crowd were there trying to push him over the hill, the cliff, to get rid of him, because he had made himself equal with God by saying, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The religious ones didn't like that, trying to get rid of him, but he walks through the crowd. It's physically impossible, but it tells us that God's love is unstoppable. It's not going to be stopped. And Jesus wasn't going to be distracted from the mission that God had sent him on. It's great how he can do that, that physical impossible thing. So it tells us something about love, that this love must be very powerful. It must be extraordinary. It's not limited by our human action. It's very powerful. It has the power to deliver and redeem people. It has the power to remove people from the midst of conflict or to at least shelter them through conflict and transform it for good. This love has the power to change people's circumstances. This love has the power to never give up. It has the power to be consistently kind, and it has the power to become a safe place to shelter. So those words from 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, never gives up. So Jesus is in the crowd, and they're about to push him over the cliff. I wonder if we take a moment and think about what crowd is surrounding you at the moment, or what crowd might you need to walk through. Where are the pressures in your life? And what can the love of Christ deliver you from? Where is Christ's love needed in our church or in our community?